How are you guys doing? That's good. All right, so we are on part three in your book. And if you don't have a book, there's still a few on the back there. There are also some new ones on the side if you need one. If you know that you plan to be a committed member of Sunday, please put your name in the book. If you know and you know who you are, you're only here for like one Sunday out of the month, please don't put your name in the book, because then we can use those ones for the ones who are gonna be here more committed and actually go through the entire book. Let's do a little bit of review, okay? Let's see. Who remembers the three things, you can just call it out, that I've been sharing about in terms of what I hope to accomplish by the end of this study for you and for me, that we would be able to grow in these three areas? Okay, and I've been kind of sharing it at the beginning of every Sunday sermon. Who remembers what we are trying to accomplish? What is our goal of going through this spiritual warfare series? It's important to remember our vision and to remember the goal of where we are ultimately trying to get. Okay, so if you remember one, you can just call it out. If not, then I will go through them once more. Okay? This is good for you to remember as well. Okay, I know that we come, we study on Sunday, and then it's easy for us to forget. Where are we going with this, right? Well, the first thing is that we would become more aware. Okay, so say that word with me, aware. Aware, okay? Easy word to remember. We want to become more aware of what spiritual warfare means. Okay? Also, we want to be more equipped. Okay? Say that word with me. Equipped. In our Christian journey, okay, we've understood that there is an unseen battle that is taking place. And so we want to be more equipped so that we know how to stand firm against the devil and his kingdom. Okay, and the last one, it is a little bit tricky. It is for us to grow with the mindset of a soldier. Say soldier.
Soldier.
Okay, so we want to grow as a soldier of Christ. Okay, that is ultimately how we want to grow as Christians. Okay, it's to be a soldier in the army of God, understanding that we are at war. Okay, if you have no concept as a Christian that you are at war, then most likely you will die in the war. But if you have an understanding that you are at war and you get equipped on how to fight that war and you become more aware of the war that is taking place around you, your chances of survival at the end are probably better than most. Okay, and so this is why it is important for us to go on this journey. Okay, so with that being said, let's pray before we get into part three. Father, we thank you so much for this time that we can study your word. And I just ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to understand exactly what it is that you want to teach us here today. May we become more aware, may we become more equipped, and may our minds be renewed and our mindsets be renewed into that of a soldier of Christ. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help me to speak your truth in love and help me to bless my brothers and sisters with your word and with your truth today. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so just a quick review. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the first rebellion, okay, that has ever taken place in the Bible. Who remembers what we talked about when it relates to the first rebellion? Who remembers what the first rebellion was in the Bible? Larry. Sorry?
Satan.
Satan. Yes, good. What did Satan do? Yes, and who was Satan before he actually became Satan? Do you remember his name? Lucifer. Very good. Okay, we're becoming very Bible literate now. Okay, maybe some of us are a little Bible illiterate, but we're going to become very Bible literate. Good job, Larry. So, in the first rebellion, we understood that there was this angelic being named Lucifer. And Lucifer was ultimately a very beautiful angel, the Bible says. He was created perfectly, and his purpose was to worship God. But ultimately, in Lucifer's free will, there was a moment in his life where he became proud. He did not like the order and structure that God set for the creation, and he thought he would be a better ruler. And so he gathered one third of the angelic creation and he rebelled against God. Now we know how the story ends, that ultimately Lucifer and the one third of the angels were cast out of heaven. That Michael, the archangel, defeated Lucifer, and ultimately Lucifer's plan was thwarted. Okay? So let's talk about the two timelines. Okay, so top of page 10, and it's also here on the screen for you. It says the Bible does not provide a specific chronological date for when Satan was cast out of heaven. But many believe it occurred after creation and before the temptation of Adam and Eve. Okay, many scholars believe Satan rebelled in the high heaven and was cast down to earth before the creation of Adam, who was supposed to guard Eden from an unknown enemy. Other scholars believe that Satan was ultimately cast out of heaven after he tempted and deceived Adam and Eve into disobeying God. Some scholars assert that this was the final step before Satan was finally cast down to earth. Okay? So, this is just information. It's kind of like cool information to know. But there are two theories out there in terms of the timeline as to when exactly Lucifer was cast out of heaven. So, some people believe that he was cast out before Adam and Eve, right? Because we understood when God created the heavens and the earth, when he formed light, when he formed darkness, when he formed the seas, when he planted the ground, all of these different things, God also had other creations with him. Angels. We talked about that last time. He also created angels, but God is the only being that has ever existed without being created. Okay? So some people believe that Lucifer was cast down out of heaven before God created humans, okay? So that's one theory. But the other theory is God cast him out of heaven after he deceived Adam and Eve, okay? Now, whichever one we believe, that's not really of utmost importance, okay? However, what is important, fourth bullet point, is that we understand that God, Yahweh, originally created Lucifer as a being that was beautiful and who faithfully served God. Yahweh created him with stunningly perfect attributes, a free will, and the ability to choose between good and evil. Last bullet point. Lucifer created Satan within himself as a byproduct of his own free will and rebellious choices. Okay, and we'll stop there for now. But if we understand that God created angelic creatures, okay, or the angelic creation with a free will, they have the ability to choose between good and evil. So Lucifer chose pride. He chose rebellion. He chose to want to be greater than God. Okay? Now, let's move on now to where we are talking about the Nakesh, or the Shining One. Okay? So we are on the middle of page 10 now. Okay, so the word Satan means adversary, accuser, or opponent. Okay, we're going to learn more about this in depth later on. But from those three words, you can already get an idea of how Satan operates. Okay, so if we say adversary, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What is Satan towards the Christian? He is an opposite, right? He is an adversary to the Christian, to God, right? To Christ. We're going to see that all throughout Scripture. From the creation story to when Jesus is born to when Jesus dies on the cross, Satan has been opposing God, God's plan, Christ, and now even us, the Christian, right? And he is an accuser. We'll learn about the character of Satan, but Satan is an accuser. He specializes in lies and telling you lies and telling me lies and trying to deceive us into thinking something that is not true. Now, we can't take that lightly because Satan is very good at what he does. He knows the Bible probably better than most Christians. Demons also know the Bible better than most Christians. They know everything about your life from when you were born up until now. And so they know exactly what to accuse you on. If you've ever struggled with your identity, demons know that that is exactly how they will lie to you. If you've ever struggled with self-worth, demons know exactly how to attack you with self-worth. If you've struggled with lust or pride or whatever your struggle with sin is, demons know exactly how to attack you in that particular area because they've known you from since you have been born up until now. And we will understand how that is possible because we will understand where demons come from and how they work later on, okay? But Satan, second bullet point, is not the devil's specific name, but it is his function, okay? It's what he does and gives us an indication of what he does. The Hebrew word for Satan is translated to Nakesh. In Hebrew, Nakesh is the word for serpent or snake. However, some interpretations, such as the ISV, translated as the Shining One, which can refer to a serpentine angel or seraph, a fiery, shining serpent. The Shining One was a beautiful being who was associated with metals like brass and bronze. Okay? So now, you might be thinking, well, between Lucifer getting cast out of heaven and God created him as a perfect, beautiful angel, we don't know what he looks like. Most of our imagery of Satan is probably based on Google, right? Or YouTube. Maybe this very nice white-looking person that you see many images of, right? But when we actually start to study the Bible and translate different words, we understand that Satan is actually translated into this word called Nakesh, which is a word for a serpent or snake. Okay? So what I want you to think of now is everything that you grew up learning in Sunday school. Okay, what did we grow up learning in Sunday school? When Adam and Eve was tempted, who came to tempt them in the garden? A snake, right? So how many of you, and I'm also guilty of this when I was younger, how many of you thought it was an actual, like, snake, right? Okay, yeah, we all probably thought that. Don't feel bad that you probably thought that it was like, you know, a slithering snake on the ground that magically started to talk to Adam and Eve. Okay, and then, I don't know, maybe like something we see in a Disney movie where this snake started to talk and maybe stand up on its tail and like talk to Adam and Eve or whatever it did, right? But this translation, let's turn to page 11. Now the top, this is the image that most of us have, right? That this is Satan talking to Eve. But what we just understood, right? That this translation and interpretation suggests that the creature in Genesis who tempted Adam and Eve was not a literal snake, as we see depicted in many of our storybooks and artistic imagery, right? But a more accurate understanding of Satan in the Garden of Eden would be as an angelic creature who walked amongst Adam and Eve in the garden, possibly spoke with them on more than one occasion, not just what was recorded in Genesis 3, and eventually deceived and convinced Adam and Eve that they could have the same knowledge as God. According to Isaiah 14, which we studied last time, the Nekesh, or Shining One, appears to be the first angelic being to rebel against God, and with him, one-third of the angelic creation fell from heaven. Okay, so let's go to the second image. This is actually probably more accurate to what the serpent looked like in the Garden of Eden. Okay? It is not this literal snake that we see in National Geographic. Okay? It was more than likely an angelic being that could walk, right? We'll get into this later, but you know, we have to think about angels, right? In the Bible, angels ate food. In the Bible, angels spoke. In the Bible, angels walked. So this angelic being that is described as Satan most likely was an angel with serpent-like features, right? And this is probably one of the best images that I can provide for you. But imagine that Satan probably talked to Adam and Eve on more than one occasion in the garden. Why was Eve so comfortable to talk to the serpent? More than likely, it's because they knew who the serpent was, right? That the serpent interacted with them on more occasions than just that one we know where he comes and he tempts Adam and Eve to eat the fruit, to receive knowledge, to deceive them into thinking that they could have the same knowledge as God. Okay? So, with this in mind, I want you to forget everything that you know about that literal snake. Okay? And understand that the serpent that deceived Adam and Eve more than likely was an angelic being that looked like this. Okay? And so now we are understanding a little bit more. Let's talk about now the second rebellion. So we have the first rebellion, which is Lucifer rebelling against God and being cast out of heaven. Okay? The second rebellion of God's creation and humanity's first rebellion towards God is found in Genesis 3. As we previously learned, Adam and Eve came under the influence of the speaking serpent and in rebellion towards God, chose to do the one thing God asked them not to do. We don't have to read Genesis 3. Hopefully, I'm hoping that you've already heard the story and you know it. Okay, so you can read it on your own time. That's the second rebellion, though. So, if we're understanding timelines, we have the first rebellion in the Bible is Lucifer against God. The second rebellion in the Bible, which is humanity's first rebellion, is Adam and Eve disobeying God's instruction not to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? We then have the third rebellion, okay, that is recorded in the Bible. Now, again, most Christians have a very Sunday school understanding of Scripture. Okay, this teaching or this passage of Scripture, it's going to stretch a little bit of your understanding of the Bible. Okay? But it's important for us to know this story if we are going to understand anything really else as it relates to spiritual warfare. Okay? So Danny just read it for us, and we're going to read through it again. So, third rebellion. We have a time in history now. Then the people began to multiply on the earth, and daughters were born to them. Okay? So, let's understand what's happening right now in the Bible and in history. We have people that are multiplying on the earth, right? Daughters are being born. That means you have husbands, you have wives getting together. Daughters, not just daughters, beautiful daughters are being born. Okay? Now, remember we talked about this word, the sons of God, right? Sons of God in this understanding of Scripture is not like me as a son of God, but it's an angelic being, it's an angel. Right? Saw the beautiful woman and took any they wanted as their wives. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. In those days and for some time after, giant Nephilites lived on the earth, for whenever the sons of God had intercourse with women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes and famous warriors of ancient times. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing. All the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky, I am sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. Okay, why do we think God is so distressed here? Or why is he so, maybe the word we can use is angry, disappointed, saddened by the fact that he ever made humanity to begin with, or that he made the angelic creation? Think about that for a minute, okay? Maybe we've never even taken time before to think about, why did God flood the earth? Why did he kill all of humanity? Why did he start everything over? Why did he press the restart button on life on the earth? Okay? Think about that. Why is this thing that is happening in Genesis 6 so serious to God that he chose to wipe out the earth and start it all over with one family? Okay, let's read the next bullet points. It says, following the fall of man, under the temptation of the shining serpent. So Satan is working here again. Other angelic beings, sons of God, intentionally attempted to corrupt the seed of the woman by creating unnatural hybrid sons in their own image and likeness. God did not intend these creatures to exist in his original creation. These sons of God had crossed the boundary that was created by God and rebelled against him. They wanted to have children of their own. However, they knew this was extremely sinful, but saw human women as a means to have children of their own. Okay, so I'm going to try to show you this. Maybe it will be a better, you know, image of what this looks like. Grace, come here for a minute, please. This Grace, sorry. Yes. Just you. Simple job. Don't worry. Samuel's my guy if I need to have somebody to run around and, you know, take hits and hit his arm against the chair. If I call you up, it's a very just simple job. Just go stand over there by Andrew. And then, Andrew, if you could come up and just hold this other side. Okay, so just hold it up high like that, right there. That's good. Okay, and then Larry. Yeah, Larry's nice and tall. Come on this side and hold this up. Everybody read what that says. Heavenly realm. Okay, and Lan, you can come up and hold this one on this side, please. And read what this says. You stand on this side. Okay, good. What does this one say that Lan is holding? Okay. So, who here has ever played, if your arm gets a little bit tired, you can just bring it down. Basketball, volleyball, everybody knows in sports there's what?
Is it